Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Having concluded our study of 1 Timothy, I want to begin a study of 2 Timothy, another one of the pastoral epistles. In our last study, we said our theme in 1 Timothy was how to behave yourself in the house of God. And that's taken from the theme verse of that book of the Bible, chapter 3, and verse number, let's see where it was, verse number 15. But our theme for the book of 2 Timothy will be stirring up the saints. And that will be taken from verse 6 of chapter 1. And so to get us started in this study, let's read from verse 1 down through verse number 6. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And notice there again in the first half of the verse, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. And so again, our theme for this study will be stirring up the saints. But first let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon the Word of God and as it's preached. Lord, I pray you would use our study of the book of 2 Timothy to stir us up. Lord, might we be awakened anew and afresh to spiritual things. Might we be burdened once again, perhaps in a greater way than we've ever been, for the lost around us. And Lord, might we strive more perfectly to glorify thee in everything that we do. So Lord, bless as we look at this book. Bless as we consider this thought found in verse number 6 of stirring up one another. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We may just have enough time to get through a little bit of the introductory material for the book. Rather than getting into our first message, but we'll just see how time allows. We will have to quit maybe at 20 till so that we can prepare and get to the nursing home service. But understanding the historical context of the book is very insightful. In chapter number 1 and in verse number 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. This is more than just a figurative statement on the part of the Apostle Paul. I mean, all of us could, in a sense, consider ourselves prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, his slaves, his servants, and that we are. But Paul means this in a literal sense. He was literally a prisoner. He was in prison for preaching the gospel and testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is not just a figurative statement. This is a literal statement. Paul was in prison, and that's where he pens this book of the Bible. That is alluded to in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4 when he says, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas, with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books but especially the parchment. So here he's talking about the things that he desires or is in need of being in prison. Since it was about to be winter, he needed his coat. But another item that was very valuable to him were the parchments, which undoubtedly are a reference to the Scriptures. And so by these two statements, we see that the Apostle Paul was literally in prison at this time. And as we examine the contents of 2 Timothy, we're going to discover just how dedicated the Apostle Paul was to the gospel. And one thing I want us to keep in mind when we consider the state of the Apostle Paul as he penned this letter is not only is this book of the Bible, not only is the author of this book divine, but God also authored not just the Scriptures, but he authored the circumstances under which they were written. So he's the author of the content, but he's also the author of the circumstances. And God is going to use these circumstances, the present circumstances of the Apostle Paul, to be an encouragement to young Timothy. Now Timothy, as a minister, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was at the forefront of the battle for Christ. And you know, those at the front of the battle often have to bear the greatest burdens. And those who bear the greatest burdens are often at risk of the greatest defeats, the greatest discouragements. And for that reason, they often need to be stirred up. Since these are some of the final words of the Apostle Paul, if he had any complaints or regrets, we perhaps would expect to see them in this epistle. If he was seeking pity from other believers, we would expect to find such sentiments in this book of the Bible. However, we find none of those things. Instead, we find him constantly admonishing young Timothy to keep on. We find him telling him not to quit, but to earnestly contend for the faith. In chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, "Hold fast the form of sound words." In chapter 2 and in verse 1, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In chapter 3 and in verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." And he's admonished in chapter 4 to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. You notice a common theme in those passages. Hold fast, be strong, continue thou. Preach the word in season and out of season. What is Paul doing? What is God doing in this passage? He's encouraging us to keep going, to be strong, to hold forth the word of life, and not to become discouraged. He's trying to stir us up in our faith. You know, there seems to be a common need amongst all believers. And as we read this epistle, we learn pastors aren't exempt, by the way, to be stirred up. Notice in the old hymn, Rock of Ages, in the second stanza it says, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite, that is, no break, no let up know, could my tears forever flow." Since these were the sentiments and the prayers of the writer of the hymn, we can assume that his feelings are shared by many believers throughout every generation. Could my zeal no respite know? Wouldn't it be nice if our zeal never waned, if it never decreased, if we stayed on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. But too often that's not the way it is. Too often we need to be stirred up. Too often we need to be encouraged. Too often we need to be admonished to keep going. Peter, in the epistle that God used him to pen in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 12, he said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent." He was a minister too. And he wanted to be found faithful to fulfill his responsibilities. And he said, "I'm not going to be negligent unto you." He said, "To put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them." He says, there are some things you know, you've been taught. And he probably knew if he got up in the pulpit and he expressed those ideas, those views, those doctrines, that many of the people out in the pew would say, "Amen," indicating that they knew that that was right. But he says, just because you know it, doesn't mean I'm not going to address it. He says, "Yea, I think it meet or suitable, as long as I am in this tabernacle," that is, as long as he's in the flesh, as long as he's alive, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." What did he say he wanted to do? And by the way, this epistle is written to believers. Verse number 1 tells us that. Verses 12 and 13 do as well. He says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to try to stir you up, inspire you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him faithfully. The natural course many times for the Christian is to become discouraged. Many times, especially if we're talking about a preacher, and that's who this book of the Bible is written to, trials concerning the ministry. I believe we gain some insight into Timothy's mental condition, his emotional condition, by what we find in verse number 4. Notice Paul said, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears." You know, the passage doesn't really explain to us why Timothy was crying, why he shed tears. Did it have something to do with loss of family or friend? Probably not. It probably was related to the trials and the struggles that he faced in the ministry. And the Apostle Paul, recognizing this, you know, he says some very comforting things to young Timothy. You know, being maybe still a young preacher, that's quickly changing, because now there's younger preachers and the older preachers are dying off. But boy, you know, as a younger preacher with my pastor still alive, I will tell you, you know, that one of the most refreshing things for me to receive is some type of communication from my pastor. Some type of encouraging words. Him letting me know that he knows what I'm going through. And him admonishing me to stay strong and to not quit. And Paul, recognizing this, that young Timothy needed his encouragement. And by the way, if you're ever in a position where you have people who look up to you, who you mentor, understand that they long to receive communication from you. They long to receive validation from you that you're doing right and that you need to just keep doing what you're doing. Because preachers all over the place now are pressured to change, to compromise, to give in, to quit, to give up. And those who have fought the fight and those who have remained faithful can be an encouragement to those who are facing these things by simply saying, "Don't quit. I mean, are there any more encouraging words than the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 when he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith? Those are encouraging words because we see here a man who faced many struggles, but he never quit. And he says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's a reward for being faithful to the end. Boy, we need to be stirred up, don't we? It can become very discouraging serving the Lord. We were talking about Job in our Sunday school class this morning. You know, he was a man of integrity. That's what God says. Man of integrity. A man of patience is what the book of James says. In other words, he endured. And when you think about all the things that he faced and the fact that really he had no one around him encouraging him and that he still remained faithful, what an encouragement. What a testimony. You and I. And you know, there's going to be generations coming up behind each and every one of us that are going to need to see people who have stood strong, who have never compromised, who have never thrown in the towel, but have remained faithful. If you read the Friday Church News notes from Friday, you probably read the article about Tennessee Temple closing. At the forefront of fundamentalism in the 1970s. Nearly every preacher during that time attended that school. I think in the article it says they had 2,000 students, over 2,000 students enrolled in the 70s in the school. And now it will be no more. If we searched, probably wouldn't have to search very hard either. We'd find a number of other schools that have closed or that have compromised. I tell you, one of the most encouraging things to me is to see men of God, faithful men of God who have stayed by the stuff and have never compromised after a 40, 50, 60-year long ministry. I know it's done wonders for me to have such a stable home church and such a stable home pastor. You know, we often talk about the benefits of having, you know, two stable parents, a child having a mom and a dad who are married and stay married, you know, throughout a young person's life. There's certain advantages that they have because of that. Psychologically and emotionally, they're not scarred. Psychologically and emotionally, they have a sense of stability that other people don't have. Some of you think about it. This church is a source of stability for some of you. And while this community might not necessarily recognize it, this church is a source of stability for them too, because we're still here and we're still preaching the truth, and they may never come here and they may never attend here, but you know, the moment this church ceased to exist, it would affect them. And Paul, what I'm saying is Paul was a source of stability. I mean, think about how encouraging it is to have a God that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. In this world, it changes at lightning fast speeds. Every day there seems to be some type of new gadget, some type of new technology. Now all the talk is in artificial intelligence and robotics. And how soon before we have little robot soldiers fighting our battles for us? Boy, all the change is hard sometimes to keep up with. It's nice to have someone who doesn't change. God doesn't change. Not morally. Not in his person. And that's what we should seek to be. A person that doesn't change. And Paul here was encouraging Timothy, was trying to stir him up. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, verse 6 says. that thou stir up the gift of God. You are given a gift, Timothy. The gift to preach. In a sense, he says, don't forsake that gift. But exercise that gift. Use it for the glory of God. And you know, if it's not discouragement that sets in the life of the Christian, it's apathy. The attitude of, well, I don't care. The attitude of, well, the world is running straight for hell, and if that's where they want to go, and they won't listen, let them go. The attitude of, I just don't care. Me, my family, my flock, that's all I care about. Don't care what the rest of the world is doing. Or maybe it's a type of apathy that makes us think, you know what? What we're doing doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference in the world. So why even try? Why try to do right? Why try to win souls? Why try to rescue sinners? Well, Romans 13 has something to say about this when it says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. There's no place for apathy in the heart and life of a Christian. No place for it. The times are too short. Therefore, we need to be stirred up. We need to be shaken up. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to be targeted by some preacher. We need him to put his little finger in our face and say, hey, get busy serving the Lord. And Paul is telling young Timothy here, get busy serving the Lord. The hour is late, and if the hour was late for young Timothy, how much later is it for you and I? Time is short. Sinners are perishing, and the world is waxing worse and worse, which is all the more reason we need to get busy serving the Lord. So as long as we are in these tabernacles of flesh, like Peter said, we need to be stirred up. And I want to exhort you to use your time wisely. The hour is late. Jesus is coming. And we need to get busy serving Him. We need to use the talents that He has given to us to minister to others. So when Paul says to young Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, this is God speaking to us as well. He saved us. He's equipped us with a gift to edify the assembly and to reach the lost, and we need to be exercising those gifts. And if you ever need encouragement, if you ever need help when you feel like you're going to quit, this is a book of the Bible to turn to. And read the admonishments that are given by God to us. And read how this one man, despite what he faced, he kept the faith. And let that be an encouragement to you to just keep your hand to the plow and keep moving forward. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful book of the Bible that can be such an encouragement to us. And Lord, if there's any in our midst that are struggling, maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we're filled with apathy. Lord, maybe we're wondering whether or not our efforts do any good. Might the study of this book of the Bible help us? Might we see what the Apostle Paul said, that he had fought a good fight, that he had kept the faith, he had finished his course, and henceforth there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him at the Lord's appearing. Might we realize, Lord, that if we would be faithful in this life, that it will have eternal rewards in the next. So bless, Lord, as this message has went forth, use it in the lives of your people, and use it for thy glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to 155.